Jewish news from down under. Down under. With Vic Aladar.
Vic Aladar, a very, very good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you. Let's talk about this Malka Leifer case. She's now apparently been denied bail as Israel Deputy Minister is investigated over allegations that he intervened to prevent her from being extradited. What a crazy story this is developing into, as if it hasn't already.
That's right. It's certainly escalating to the next level. So as you say, she just appeared in court in the last 24 hours, and she her lawyers applied for bail for her because she has been held in a women's prison in Ramla in central Israel, and her lawyers appealed for bail on her behalf, and the bail was denied, and as we know, the background for is that Australia is seeking to have her extradited back to Australia to face 74 charges of sexually abusing her former students. She was principal of an ultra-Orthodox Adas Israel school here in Melbourne. Now, of course, she's innocent and proven guilty, but the whole case has taken this additional twist where a senior Israeli politician is now being investigated that he has interfered in the attempts to extradite Malka Leifer back to Australia. His name is Deputy Health Minister Yaakov Litzman, and he's been interviewed already by the police over allegations that he intervened in an expert medical opinion to have her declared officially mentally unfit to stand trial. Wow. or to undergo an extradition so that she could stand trial.
It's just an incredible story. You know, I read this morning as well that there's a rabbi in southern Israel or wherever that is, whichever part of it Israel it is, I can't recall exactly, that is putting out notices to different communities asking to raise money for her defense. What is going on here? Why is there this massive surge of significant support for her in terms of who the people are, and why is there such resistance to allowing justice to take its course? If she's innocent, then let her face the trial, deal with it, yes, and prove that she had nothing to do with all of this.
And all of those are good questions, and it does start raising questions about what is happening with the Israeli legal system, which is always so highly regarded, that there's this fiercely independent judiciary, and we know all of that, and we've seen that over the years. But your questions are very good questions. And interestingly, I mean, Israel and Australia do have an extradition treaty which goes back all the way back to 1975. And in all this time, excuse me, there have been no extradition requests in either direction until this current case. And what adds to this whole matzah pudding is that the former Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, himself raised this issue with Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister. And so it really has, you know, gone to the highest levels in both countries. And as you see now, there's these allegations against this Deputy Health Minister, the issues that you're now talking about. So the latest I heard is that it's due to go back to court again in March. And this is, I mean, there have been multiple hearings or attempted hearings over the state of her mental health. And whether she's fit to be extradited, whether she's not fit, and all of that. So it doesn't look like there's any resolution anytime soon, other than, and I've just seen a number here that I was looking for, there have been more than 45 court hearings over this issue. More than 45. And of course, one, we can't forget in all of this, those who claim to be her
victims. Well, I was just thinking about that. What about the victims? They need some form of resolution. Surely, I mean, this has gone on for years and years.
This has gone on since she fled Australia in 2008. And so that's now coming up. It's over 10 years now. Mm. And as soon as the accusations became it became aware that it, one became aware that these accusations were going to be put to her, and she left Australia in a hurry, and almost 11 years now. And Malcolm Turnbull, as I say, you know, lobbied Bibi. So it remains to be seen how this is going to be resolved.
Terrible story.
I heard is that it'll go back to court again in March next month.
Horrible story indeed. Another one that isn't pleasant either is a university lecturer sacked for placing a swastika on an Israeli flag. Tell us about the story.
So this is the University of Sydney, and our University of Sydney is the oldest university in this country. It's over 150 years old. And unfortunately, it has been a jungle for Jewish students and Jewish faculty in the last number of years, where you know, Jewish kids, one hears anecdotally that they won't wear a kippah visibly, they'll rather wear a cap on top of it, etc. There's an academic there who is employed at Sydney University. He's very controversial for his political history. And he has regularly accused Israel of genocide, calling an apartheid state, calling for its dismantling, etc. And now the university, to its credit, has terminated his employment because he superimposed a swastika on an Israeli flag and used this for teaching materials. And he was suspended at the end of last year. There was a panel of three, and it came down in favor of terminating his employment 2-1, saying that, quote, despite repeated warnings, his continued publication of this material on social media and in lectures was disrespectful and offensive. This lecturer in concern is appealing against it, I understand. He says that the abuse will send a cold chill through university. I mean, seriously. As if his activities.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable, that. Absolutely incredible. I mean, to turn yourself into a victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So he apparently is going to appeal against the finding, but full credit to the university. At least it has absolutely done the right thing. And as we've seen, the IHRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, one of the definitions of anti-Semitism, which it has defined, is accusing Israel of being a Nazi state, which is exactly what this lecturer has done.
Absolutely. Finally, Australian polls protested to a by former politician who made anti-Semitic comments.
So this is a man who you and I and our listeners would never have heard of, but in Poland, apparently he has a very high profile. Former politician and a former high-profile radio shock jock, and is currently touring Australia. Now, the Jewish community in Melbourne has a very, very strong Polish presence. In Sydney, it's mainly a lot of people from Hungary, South Africans in both centers. But in Melbourne, a very strong Polish Jewish community and a very strong non-Jewish Polish community as well in this country. And the Polish community leaders have drawn the Jewish community's attention to the fact that this guy is running around the country now. He accuses Holocaust victims of making a business of extorting compensation money. He is absolutely appalling. And the Polish-Australian community, not Jewish, have come out very strongly against him, denouncing his presence and saying this guy should not have even been allowed into the country.
Incredible.
And so it's caused a bit of controversy with the Australian Poles, non-Jewish, protesting loudly and very strongly against his presence here, and by the way, sending the Jewish community a message saying that they denounce everything that he stands for.
Absolutely incredible. That's where we leave it. Vic Aladev, Chief Executive Officer at the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. Thank you, as always.